All right, good morning. We're going to start this morning. We'll probably end up spending two classes on this particular section, at least two, so maybe a little bit more as well. The topic of the Ma'ayonos, the wellsprings. So, did we not finish the Yamim? Where did we leave off? Can I, do you have your source sheet by the chance? Okay, as I was saying, we are going to finish the Yamim in Meretz Hashem. Fantastic, thank you for the reminder. Okay, thank you. All right, so remember again, just to reorient ourselves. Thank you. Just reorient us a little bit with the Yamim, with the seas. So remember again, we saw a number of different interpretations so far in terms of what the Yamim, what the seas themselves are teaching us. We saw the Perush of Rabbeinu Yosef Chiyun, who spoke about the idea that from the greatness of nature, one could ultimately again perceive the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We saw Rabbi Nachman, who taught us the idea, who taught, because one of you in that row has an extra sheet, or did I take the only sheet from the row? Good, you're the only sheet. Does anyone else in a different row have a sheet? Okay, perfect.
Thank you.
Okay, sorry, thank you. So we saw Rabbi Nachman, right? And Rabbi Nachman ultimately highlighted the idea that the waves of life represent the incredible tumultuous nature, right? The overwhelming circumstances of life that sometimes look like they're going to sweep us away, but yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu always comes to our aid. So we left off, and thank you for the reminder, we left off in the middle of the Gemara Baba Basra, where we finished the Gemara Baba Basra, that spoke about the Binyan Hordos. Remember again, Herod, we spoke about, expanded the Temple Mount in a dramatic fashion. And not only that, he extended the Temple Mount, he also extended the Beis HaMikdash itself. So if you remember again, the Gemara tells us, what was the Beis HaMikdash made out of? Right, the walls. What were the walls? What kind of marble? Blue, white, green, or some variation of that. Herod comes along, and what does he want to do? He wants to go ahead and coat it with gold. The rabbis tell him, no thank you, we're very happy with the exterior of the Beis HaMikdash as is. To which the Gemara says, so what was so special about the exterior of the Beis HaMikdash? The Mechzi Ke'idvisa D'yama. It had the appearance of the waves of the sea. So apparently Chazal wanted, the rabbis wanted very much for this exterior side of the Beis HaMikdash to have the appearance of this. Gold is beautiful. Gold, a gold-plated Beis HaMikdash would have been absolutely magnificent, would have been incredibly regal and elegant and beautiful, but Chazal nevertheless wanted to maintain the exterior having the appearance of the waves of the ocean. So what's the significance of the waves of the ocean? So take a look at Rashi number 6. Rashi says, Idvisa diyama gali hayam. They wanted it to look like the waves. Now, what's interesting is as follows. You see, you might have the idea, it's, when you read the Gemara quickly, so it sounds like the Beis HaMikdash has the appearance of the ocean. But if you remember again, how are the stones situated on the exterior? In and out. There's an architectural term for it, which I don't know offhand. But there's type of architecture where stones jut out, stones jut in, or are recessed, right? Are pushed out and recessed. So it has the appearance not simply of the sea, but rather again of the waves of the sea. That's what Rashi's pointing out. Idvisa diyama is gali hayam, the waves of the sea. Shehem noim vinadim. What does that mean? Shehem noim vinadim. Navinad. Literally translated back and forth, right? That the waves are always going back and forth. Va'ayin misasheshes beri'yasa. Now this is actually quite dramatic. And says Rashi, the eye almost becomes overwhelmed by the sight. So the truth is, we know this, because sometimes if a person ever has the privilege to look at the ocean, so you know, you almost could become mesmerized by the waves. You could become mesmerized by the movement of the ocean itself. So according to Rashi, something very interesting is happening over here. It's not just the pshat that there was a beauty in the water. Remember again, what's the significance of water? Basic significance of water. What is water? Good, even before we get to life. What is what? Well, life, but what? Torah, before Torah. What's our first introduction to water? First introduction to water we ever have. Shishne Breshes. What was the world in the beginning? The world was water. That's what there was. Water. Water is what we call the primordial substance. It is a substance from which all of nature was created. Everything begins. Obviously, the Ramban says, first there was nothing. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates Yesh Me'ayin, something from nothing. It would appear that the first something that was created was water. Was mine. So water is always significant. So had you told me ultimately again that the exterior of the Beis HaMikdash was to look like water, I would have understood that. Because so much of the essence of coming up to the Beis HaMikdash is to do what? What are you accomplishing when you come to the Beis HaMikdash? Sorry? Serving Hashem, but more specific. Well, you could serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu anywhere. What are you really coming to do? I'm sorry? Going back to the basics, I would term it like a little bit differently, which is you are reigniting your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's it. I could serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu anywhere and everywhere, and we do serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu anywhere and everywhere. I come to the Beis HaMikdash to somehow reignite that relationship, to put a little bit of a spark back in it, to infuse a bit more passion. So the notion, the most basic building block of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that the Ribono Shalom is a Bore and I am a Nivra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a creator and I am a creation. Right? That's our most... You made me. You made me. Atal Yetzartani. You created me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the most basic building block of the relationship. We go back to basics in order to restart and rebuild and reignite. So I understand, therefore, when I come to the Beis HaMikdash, how striking it is to see an image of water. Right, water, the most basic building block of creation. I come to the Beis HaMikdash to reignite my relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam and to start anew. So I understand now. I come to the Beis HaMikdash, I see water, I'm dramatically overwhelmed by the water. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Bore, I am the Nivra, incredible. But again, that's not what the Gemara says. The emphasis here is not on the water, or at least the emphasis is not solely on the water. The emphasis is just as much on what? Waves. All about the waves. And Rashi says again, that for some reason Rashi seems to feel the need, shame not in v'nadun, the waves go back and forth. Now if I have to ask you, what's strange about that, Rashi? The waves go back and forth. Is Rashi teaching you something you didn't know beforehand? No. Right? I know waves go back and forth. I've seen waves. We've all seen waves. Right? So we all know waves go back and forth. But Rashi, it feels compelled ultimately to contribute this piece of information. So what's the pshat? What's the imagery of the waves? So I'll show you something amazing. Take a look at number 7. There's a beautiful pasuk in Tehillim where David HaMelech says, Ato Moshel Vegeos Hayom. You rule. Now, if you were to translate Geos Hayom, how would you translate Geos Hayom? You know, the translation over here is the swelling of the sea. But that's not really what it means. What does Geos Hayom really mean? I'm sorry? The spring. Could be springs. Good. What else could it mean? Valley. Good. What else? Geos also is like Hashem Maloch Geus Lavesh. Greatness. Greatness. So Atam Moshe Begeos Hayom. You rule over. Now remember again, when do you see the true greatness and power of the sea? When? When there's waves, right? That's the swelling. Right? The swelling represents again the formation of the waves in the sea. So Atam Moshe Begeos Hayom. You HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you rule over the swelling of the sea. Biso Galov Ata Teshabchein. When literally again, Biso Galov, when the waves surge, Ata Teshabchein. So Ata Teshabchein means you, the translation at least over here is, you go ahead and you still them. You still them. When the waves surge, you still them. What does it mean the waves surge, you still them? In regular English. Stops the waves from what? From destruction. Remember, again, there's an order in Bereshis, there's an order in the natural world. And the order in the natural world is the sea has its area, land has its area, everything has its own defined, unique geographic parameters. That's the HaKadosh Baruch Hu who created it. So what happens? The sea, the way it appears, when you look at nature, is it looks like the sea wants to overrun everything. C wants to overrun everything. But what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? David HaMelech says, "Besogalov, when the waves surge, looking like they want to overtake everything, Ato Teshabchem. If you look at the Ebenezer number 8, Teshabchem Tashkitem. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, go ahead and silence the waves. You silence them. They look like they want to overtake everything. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you silence them. You stop them from overrunning land. That's why, again, you know, sometimes you see that some of the most dramatic events in nature occur, whether it's a tsunami or something else. You know, just in New Zealand, not so long ago, they had this volcano that erupted that sent like a massive wave. Sent a massive wave that wiped out like half an island. It is, when you see, that's not the normal way we look at nature. The way we look at it, we always see the waves coming. But not the natural order of things is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu programmed into nature that the waves stop. The waves stop. Atam Hosha Begeas Hayom, you rule the swelling of the sea. Beso Galov Atot Teshabchim. And again, that's what Ebenezer says. Teshabchim Tashkitem. Malbim says Teshabchim Tashpilem. Ultimately, again, you bring them down. Now, the truth is, interestingly enough, if you were to translate it to Teshabchim, how would you translate it? Sorry? I heard someone say it. Praise. Excellence. Right? Really? Shevach. Shevach. That really seems to be the best definition, ultimately, again, for Teshabchim. In which case, you would read the pasuk, Atam Moshel Begeos Hayom, you are Kodesh Baruch Hu, rule the swelling of the sea. Biso Galov Atot Teshabchim. When the waves surge, you praise them. And in fact, that's the definition that the Zohar gives in number 10. Something amazing. Davar Acher, Teshabchim Mamish. Mamish. Says the Zohar, Teshabchim doesn't mean to still. Teshabchim doesn't mean to quiet. Teshabchim doesn't mean to bring down. Rather, Teshabchim literally means Shevach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you praise the waves. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu praise the waves? So listen to this. Teshabchim Mamish Shevachahu Lon Begein Deselkin B'Te'evusa L'michmi. I won't ask you to translate it, but listen to what this translation is. Begain means because. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu praise the waves? Because the salkin b'te'evusa, they come back with te'evusa. What does te'evusa sound like? Taiva. Or te'avon. Te'avon means what? An appetite. The truth is, it's the same thing. Right? Taiva and te'avon, it's the same idea. Right? Taiva is also a desire, an appetite for something. The salkin b'te'evusa, you come with an appetite or with a lust, with a desire, lemechami, to get back up. Listen to what the Zohar is saying. And it's something absolutely dramatically amazing. If you ever stand by the ocean, right? And it's beautiful too, it's rhythmic, it's melodic, puts you into a trance to watch the waves come in. So something amazing happens. When you watch the waves, when you imagine for a moment you're by the ocean for the first time, you don't know what to expect. You see the waves gathering momentum, right? It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. You're standing by the shore. What do you assume is going to happen? You've never seen it before. What would you expect? It's going to come in what?
It's going
to reach, going to reach you. It's going to knock you over, right? And remember, you've never seen the ocean before. You're standing by the banks of the ocean, right by the beach. You see the wave gathering momentum. You see the water stream gathering momentum. Bigger, 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 bigger. You assume this is going to overtake me. This is going to wash away everything. And then something amazing happens, which is what? Which is what? It crashes. Now something amazing happens when a wave crashes. What occurs? It crashes. And what is it reduced to? No one here has ever been to the ocean. Such nushin sidkani. That's why she's sitting, you say till them all day. It's incredible. And so I'll tell you, I'll be the shaykh. So remember, so again, when you go to the ocean, the wave gathers momentum, it crashes, and something amazing happens. Right? You ever sit with your feet in the surf? So that big wave is reduced to some white foam around your feet, washes in and washes out. Says the Zohar something incredibly amazing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu praises the ocean. Why does he praise the ocean? Because the ocean, what does the ocean want to do? Right? If you're the ocean, what do you want to do more than anything? What?
Expand.
Expand. Right? Not destroy. You want to expand, right? Everything in nature wants more. Everything in nature wants more. The animals want more. Mankind wants more. And the ocean wants more, kiviyachol. So the ocean is always trying to overrun its borders. So what does it do? It gathers momentum. The wave starts. And finally the ocean, kiviyachol, says, this is it. This is going to be the wave that mamish pushes my borders out. And then what happens? Right as that wave is mamish about to peak, right? Right as it's gathering, all of a sudden, what happens? Crashes. It topples over, crashes, and is reduced to nothing. But then something amazing occurs, which is what? Remember again, what happens? You'll speak to your friend who's been to the ocean, right? What happens then after the wave crashes? The surf surrounds your feet. Then what happens? The water pulls it back out. And begins the process all over again. Pulls the surf back out and begins the process again. And then again, what happens? The water churns up. The waves build up. This is going to be the one. And right as the wave is peaking, then what happens? At P-E-A-K-I-N-G. Right? As it's peaking, right? Reaches its peak. And then what happens? Crashes again. Water surrounds my feet. The sea tries again. Says the Zohar, Ata Moshel Begeos Hayam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you rule over the sea is great and the sea is powerful, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is even more powerful. You rule over the greatness of the sea. Beso galov ato teshabchim. When the waves surge, says the Zohar, you praise the sea. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu praise the sea? Because the sea finds the courage to what? To keep trying. Every single time the sea tries to succeed, it crashes. Every single time it tries to summon up the courage to create that wave that is going to overtake the land, the wave crashes. But then what does the sea do? The sea doesn't give up. The sea pulls the water back out and tries all over again. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the waves, Ata Teshabchim, and he goes ahead and he praises the waves. This says the Zohar is the message. So it sounds very familiar, right? Sound a little bit familiar? Sounds a lot like the human condition. We go ahead and we try, and we gather up all of our koach, all of our energy, all of our efforts to be able to do something. And then what happens? We finally think that we have the entire recipe for success, everything that is necessary in order for me to succeed, to finally do the things I want to and need to do in life are all here. And my wave is gathering momentum. And I mamish feel this is the moment of incredible accomplishment. And then what happens? Or a lot of times what happens? The wave crashes. But very often in life, when it comes to people, when our wave crashes, unfortunately what happens all too often? We give up. Once the wave crashes, I tried so hard. I put in so much time, so much effort, so much koach, and nothing materialized. That great wave is now reduced to foamy surf around my feet, and I have nothing to show for it, and it's tempting to give up. In those moments, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, look at the sea. The sea experiences failure. How many times does the sea, kiviyachol, fail each and every day? How many times? Countless. Countless number of times. The sea tries, gathers up momentum for a wave, and the wave crashes. And what does the sea do? In the aftermath of failure, each and every time, tries again. Now, I think something interesting about the sea, about the ocean, if you ever notice, by the way, the current in the ocean is different at different times, right? Different times of day, different seasons, because even the sea doesn't always put in the same effort all of the time, but at least it tries every single time. It might not be exerting, quote-unquote, maximum effort after every single crash, after every single failure, but it's always pulling the water back out and trying again. Sometimes the second try will only be a very small wave. Sometimes the second try will be a mighty wave. Sometimes in the morning it looks one way. In the afternoon it looks a different way. In the evening it looks a third way. But at the end of the day, every single time the sea experiences crushing defeat, it does one thing and one thing only. It tries again. And if this is true for an element of nature, right, which doesn't really have all that much bechira, if any at all, hey, so alach is kama v'kama, how true it is for us. We all suffer defeat and we all suffer failure. The difference between us and the sea is that the sea always tries again, whereas unfortunately we all too often just give up. After I put in all of that koach to summon up the effort to bring out one life wave for myself, if it doesn't work, I throw my hands up in the air and nebuch, I give up. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have the greatest amount of shevach, the greatest amount of praise for the sogala, for the surge of the waves. The ability to try again and again and again, no matter how many times you fail, is the greatest mark of accomplishment. You see, we often think that success is the greatest mark of accomplishment. Why is success not necessarily the greatest mark of accomplishment? You often can't control your success, right? If I want to do something in life, a lot of times my ability to make things happen, I control a lot of the process, but it might be dependent on other people in different ways. So I could go ahead and want something very badly, even put in the maximum amount of effort for me, but it may not succeed. That's why in the eyes of the Ribono Shel Olam, success in life is not gauged through results. It's gauged through the prism of effort. It's hard for us to appreciate this because often greater society, I mean, this doesn't work in a lot of areas in life. If you go and you get a job and you're building a career and your boss gives you certain deadlines or certain projects and you don't produce, but you go over and you say, listen, I just want you to know, I know that I did not succeed in doing the project, this project, the second project, the third project, but I just want you to know, I'm giving you all of my effort, right? I'm giving you 1,000% effort. What's going to happen? You'll be looking for a new job. This is a good piece of career advice, right? Because in the world, no one really cares about your effort. They care about your results. The one relationship where this is, and by the way, it's true even in human relationships, even in a marriage, a husband or a wife, they put in effort, but you don't produce results. It's hard to sustain a relationship like that. Effort is beautiful and intentionality is beautiful. But in the world of people, you have to produce results. There's only one relationship in the world where you're not measured based on your results, you're measured based on your efforts. And that's our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the Ribono Shel Olam could see into my heart. And He knows when I'm really trying. He knows when I'm not trying. But He knows when I'm putting in maximum effort. And He also knows all of the things that are happening around me. And how so many times in life when I want things to happen, they don't happen for a variety of different reasons. And that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't gauge your success based on your results. I gauge your success based on your efforts. The raya, the proof to that is, who does HaKadosh Baruch Hu praise day in and day out? The ocean. What does the ocean accomplish? Ocean, what did you do today? Did you grow today? Did you become any bigger? And what's the answer? No. So what did the ocean accomplish? What did the ocean accomplish? Tried. Over and over again. Pulled the water back out, made another wave, summoned up the wave crashed. Tried again and again and again and again. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, B'sogalov, David HaMelech says, B'sogalov, Atot Teshapchi. Now you understand why, although Herod offered to go ahead and redo the Beis HaMikdash in gold, Chazal did not want it. What did they want the Beis HaMikdash to look like? Not simply like the sea. What did they want it to look like? The Idvis Sadiyama. The waves. And as Rashi says, Shem Noim V'Nadim. I know that waves go back and forth. I understand that. So you know what Chazal wanted? Isn't this incredible? When you're walking up to the Beis HaMikdash, and look, who knows, we'll see Mirat Hashem Mekarov, what the third Beis HaMikdash is going to look like. I don't know if it's going to be gold, or if it's going to be marble, if it's going to be made of something else. Who knows? But in Mirat Hashem, we will see speedily in our days. But can you imagine, you walk up to the Beis HaMikdash. You walk up to the Beis HaMikdash. You know, you have to realize, right, you're walking down or up from the hills. Remember, Har Habayis used to be a mountain, which means when you were coming from the surrounding areas, you would see the Beis HaMikdash already in the distance. And can you imagine that what you saw once upon a time was a large structure that looked like what? A standing series of waves. A standing, that's what it looked like. It looked like a standing ocean, right? An upright ocean, an upright series of waves. And you would look at that, and you got chizik from that. even before you stepped foot in the courtyard, even before you had the zchus to be in the Azara, even before you saw the Kohanim, even before you saw the pillar of smoke of the Kaparos and the Ketores, even before you saw any of this, the chizik you got when you saw the waves and you say, you know what? The Ribono Shel Olam just wants me to try. Just wants me to try. But more than trying, what he wants me to do is in the face of incredible and overwhelming failure, when I crash and burn in life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want me to beat myself up over my failures. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want me to feel bad over my failures. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want me to lament my failures. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want me to do in the aftermath of failure? Pull the waters back out and just try again. That was the chizik you got. You see, sometimes we think about the absence of the Beis HaMikdash. And it's been more than 2,000 years without a Beis HaMikdash. So we kind of wonder to ourselves, you know, okay, I understand I'm supposed to feel like I'm lacking something, but I don't really feel like I'm lacking anything, which is understandable. We have no frame of reference. But then you hear something like this. And imagine again, you walk towards a magnificent place, this vertical ocean, this vertical set of waves, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is communicating to you, I don't need you to be perfect. And I don't need you even to accomplish so many things. I just need you to try. I just need you to find the courage and the strength within yourself that when you fall and you fail, that you will be able, Amir Tashem, to pull yourself back together and get back up. That's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us. We sometimes think that the Ribono Shel Olam sets such incredible and overwhelming expectations of us. And he does. He has incredible expectations for each of us. Just like hopefully our parents set high expectations because they believe in us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets high expectations also. But those expectations are not measured in the actualization of results. Those expectations are measured in our willingness to get back up after we fail. Because what separates greatness from mediocrity is not how much you do or how much you accomplish. What separates greatness from mediocrity is the willingness to get back up and try again in the aftermath of failure. When your waves crash, because inevitably they will, are you the kind of person that just lets the waters sit there on the banks of your life ocean? Or do you pull the waters back out and try again? And keep trying over and over and over, no matter how many times it takes. Chazal understood the power of that message. And although they were incredibly appreciative for the generosity of Herod, said, no, thank you. We would love to keep the Beis HaMikdash as it is. Ki'idvisa diyama. Be mechazik the cloud to know that a Kadosh Baruch Hu just needs me to try again, especially in the aftermath of failure. And perhaps to kind of bring this full circle, and to close out this segment, this is what the Yamim are telling us also. The seas tell us, Mikolos Mayim Rabim Adirim Mishpereyam Adir Bamaro Mashem. See, interestingly enough, if you notice, by the way, when the seas make their statement, so to speak, so what do they say? More than the voices of the many waters, Adirim Mishpereyam, the mighty waves of the sea. You see, the waters tell us, if you really want to hear our message, look at our waves. At the end of the day, the message of the Yom Perek Shira is anything and everything you need in order to be successful in life, you can learn from the waves. The waves come, they gather momentum, they gather strength, they crash, they fail, they burn. And then what do they do in the next second? Pull themselves. And by the way, I want to point out, if you ever notice by the ocean, if you notice, by the way, it's actually very interesting. When a wave crashes, and I'm sure all of these things can be explained scientifically as well. When a wave crashes, there's those few moments where the water like pulls around your feet, and then only a little bit later does it pull back out. It's interesting. It's not instantaneous. It's not the pshat that like it falls, crashes, pulls back out. There's a pause. Because again, and this is incredibly instructive in life also, because even when people find the courage to rebuild, most of us can't find the courage to rebuild and start again immediately. Usually what happens in the aftermath of failure, what usually has to happen, what do you need? A little bit of time just to catch your breath. Because a lot of times in life, when you fall and when you fail, it like knocks the breath out of you. Right? You feel a little bit winded. So you need that little bit of time to catch yourself. You need that little bit of time to regroup. What just happened over here? To understand, why did I fail? How did this happen? What occurred? there are those moments, excuse me, when the water pools around your feet. Those moments of reflection, those moments of introspection, because sometimes when the waves of life fall and break, sometimes it's because we didn't try hard enough. Sometimes it's because we didn't put in enough effort. Sometimes it's because we didn't believe in ourselves enough. A variety of different reasons. So when the waves of life come crashing down, you can't just immediately pull the waters back and start again. You have to reflect. Just like the water itself, the ocean itself reflects for a few moments as those waters are pooling around my feet and the ocean is reflecting, then it pulls back out. So if you notice again in Perek Shira, it could have just said, Mikolos Mayim Rabim Adir Bamaro Mashem. From the voices of the many waters, right? As strong as the waters are, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is stronger. But no, the Yamim go out of the way to mention the waves. Because remember, all of Perek Shira is nature teaching us how to live and to lead more meaningful and impactful lives. That is the message of Perek Shira. So the sea says to us, I want to teach you how to lead a more meaningful and impactful life. Adirim Mishperei Yam. Look at how the strongest of waves come crashing down. But yet the ocean finds the ability to start again. That becomes the lesson in life for us as well. To put in maximum effort to try to actualize our goals, our dreams, our aspirations. But when those dreams, goals, and aspirations come crashing down, which inevitably happens sometime over life, we all fall and we all fail. But the true metric of your life's success is what do you do in the aftermath of falling and failure? Do you allow your waters just to pool on the banks of your life and don't try again? Or do you pull the waters back out, gather the momentum for another life wave of accomplishment, and try again? The ocean teaches us that no matter how many, the Yamim teach us that no matter how many times you fail, just keep trying. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu measures the success of our lives not based on what we produce, but how many times we're willing to try and try again. All right, we'll stop over here for today. So, Emir Tzashem, we will begin the Ma'ayonos, Emir Tzashem, on Thursday.